It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
All right, it's time for the Thursday Drive Brouhaha on KSRO, brought to you by Hot Monk and Sebastopol, Novato, and Sonoma. Yeah, and we thank Dean and all the folks at Hot Monk for bringing us Brouhaha every week. Mark Carpenter, of course.
How we doing?
He started with Anchor in San Francisco in 71, and knows so much about beer. So does her Linda. She's back.
Hello. Cheers.
What's up?
I was
looking at him when I was talking to you.
I got to see Paul McCartney last night. I have to throw that in there.
Yeah, you are the McCartney fan. Yeah. I know that. Drive Brouhaha. Dave McLean is here. We're going to talk some Outside Lands and what they're doing in their beer garden this year. A beer judge from Outside Lands, Martin Voigt, is here too.
Hi.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, I'm back.
Well, first off, let's talk about Outside Lands. It's hard to believe it's time for that already again.
You know, it comes around fast.
So Dave McLean curates the beer list for Beer Lands, and actually also there's some cider in there as well, I can see, too.
That's true. Yeah, a couple of ciders. This is the eighth year of Beer Lands. You know, it's the 12th year of the festival, and the last eight they've done Beer Lands.
Wow.
And it's been gotten a little bit bigger and a little bit better every year.
And you've been running the beer all 8 years?
I have. This is my eighth year as well.
All right.
Now, as far as the judging goes,
there's no competition in the Beer Lands and Outside Lands. It's just the 3 days of music, festival, food, beer, wine, VIP, and a lot of killer restaurants. Chris Langley from Outside Lands sent me some lists that they're doing, the Taste of the Bay Area, where they're doing really killer, like, Japanese restaurants, and that they're going to be doing some beer and things with that.
Yeah, there's some pairings set up. I don't think there's any really large-scale music festival like that that has done a better job of kind of making a really hyper-local showcase of not just the music but food and drink in the area.
Really, how many breweries and beer masters are going to be there?
At Beerlands, there are 30 breweries.
Wow.
And my old employer, Anchor, is one of them. So
they are
the Anchor fans can get some steam beer there.
That's right.
And we've got steam some Sonoma County places. We've got Ace Cider, and Bay Republic's going to be there. And looks like we've got Lost Coast that was just on here a few weeks ago, and North Coast, Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, of course, Speakeasy, Strongbow Hard Ciders from England, actually. And Woods, that Woods beer. Oh, and Seismic also.
Right.
Is there a wine garden?
There is also Winelands.
Winelands,
which,
of course.
Which
yes.
actually started the first year of Outside Lands. So
yeah,
Winelands has been there the whole time.
Yeah, because we talked about that every year. Yeah.
Right. And that's Peter Eastlake, so we're going to be getting him on again. He's actually curating a different wine tasting in VIP area now, ultra, like, as if they didn't already have some awesome wineries and winelands, but in the VIP area, it looks like they're going to be. Are you doing anything like that in VIP for the beer, too?
Yeah, some of that's still coming together, TBD, I guess, but there are a couple of VIP activations where we're supposed to bring some beer over from Beerlands and pair it with specific food coming from certain chefs.
Nice. And then Martin Voigt is here from, he's actually from Austria. I've judged with him in Europe. He actually is not part of Outside Lands. He's out here touring. He was here last September on the show.
But I would love to be part of Outside Lands. you told me about this festival, and I checked the website today, and I saw the beer list. I said, hey, I should stay some days longer.
There you go. Extend the trip.
Yeah, for sure.
What is the dates for this again, for Outside Lands?
I believe it's August 9th to the 11th. Do I have that right?
I am looking at this. I believe it is as well. So Paul Simon is the big head. Yeah, August 9th through 11th.
Oh, my God. Paul. I just saw that.
Yeah.
Paul Simon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I missed his last go-round in the Bay Area, and this is his final tour.
Probably come on down then.
Yes, I shall. What's the date on that? This website's not great, I must say.
August 9th through the 11th, this coming up next month.
I can't find what I need here.
I believe he's on the 11th on the Sunday
Sunday
headliner, yeah.
And then there's Childish Gambino, 21 Pilots.
Oh, Casey Musgraves. That's cool.
Yeah. Then there's a Gastro Magic stage where they do music and like cocktail and food pairings, and they'll get chefs up there doing like butchering with a, you know, a live band going. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's some of the kind of most clever and edgy of all the programming there is that Gastro Magic stage. I think that's like the sleeper stage. More people should go to that.
Yeah, and there's Chocolate Lands. Oh, well, you know what's new this year also is Oxbow Market out of Napa is now curating the Cheese Lands. Now, Cheese Lands is pretty. That's another good one for beer, too.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. They should be neighbors. We should be neighbors with Cheese Lands.
You should be neighbors with Cheese Lands. That totally makes sense, right?
Next year, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Wow, there's some great acts performing this year, which is usual for Outside Lands, and this is very exciting. I didn't know Paul Simon was going to be there until just now. That's cool.
Yeah, I thought I'd surprise you. I almost texted it to you, and I thought, let's just tell him on the air.
You said 12 years for the festival?
Festival overall is 12, and Beerlands is 8 years.
Yeah, okay. Talk more about Outside Lands and the beer garden or the beer lands. Lots of different breweries.
So they buy separate tickets for the beer lands, right? That's separate from the going into the
Yeah, it's pretty much music. Just, you know, pay as you go, a la carte, you know, just buy what you're going to drink.
Yeah.
And so it's really just, it's the, you know, it's the collection of so many different breweries, all of which represent, you know, kind of collectively the diversity of Bay Area brewing. So, you know, most of the breweries are from Northern California. It's a
great selection.
21st Amendment.
The curating part, the hardest part of curating is trying to keep it from being an IPA festival because every brewery wants to bring their IPAs. But we managed to kind of haggle and work it out so that, you know, it is ideally, and I think it generally is, a pretty broad cross-section of beer styles. So, you know, you've got some kettle sours and hazy IPAs, which are, you know, kind of popular, you know, as of right now, in this moment. But they're, you know, we've got things like Steam and some great pilsners and lagers, a couple of good dark beers. So I think, when you look at the beer list altogether, it's a pretty dynamic and interesting list, and I think there's something for everybody.
Well, Martin Voigt and I, he's here from Austria again, and we had a tour with Christopher Jackson of Seismic Brewery, and then Christopher did a tasting with us at the new tap room in Sevastopol. So the Alluvium Pilsner, which is also made with like your other incarnation, Admiral Malting, that Pilsner is going to be actually at Outside Lands as well, and you actually had that Pilsner today. What do you think of that being a German-Austrian?
It's an awesome Pilsner, and if you look at the results from all the competitions around the world, it's not the German breweries winning for the Pilsner style anymore. It's the American breweries who make it to the top three. So that's a good reason for that, because you guys know how to do a proper Pilsner, maybe better than we do in Germany.
Because it's from Pilsen, Germany, right, Mark?
No, it's in Czech.
Czech. I should know that.
Mark, what are you tasting over there?
Right now I'm drinking a beer that Dave brought that uses some of his malt from Admiral Malting, and it's from Alvarado Street Brewing. And it's actually a stone beer, which is interesting. The original stone brewery that I know of is in Bamberg, Germany, and what they do to boil the wort, they actually heat up these stones and drop the stones into the kettle. And that's how the wort is boiled.
Like stone soup, like that old fairy tale stone soup. I loved that one.
And then all the sugars cook on the stones, so they put the stones in the cellar tank to so they can get the sugar back in the beer. It's an interesting process. I think it was just it was easier for them to brew that way back in the caveman days than to build a fire under the vessel.
Right. This is ambitious. You know, it's a collaboration between Yeast of Eden, which is Alvarado Street's sour program, and the Brewery Rex guys from down in SoCal. And it's been, I think it made it about a year ago.
So. We're talking about the Outside Lands Festival coming up August 9th, 10th, and 11th, Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. I'm sure you've heard of it.
And
the times are, festival gates open on Friday at 11 a.m., same on all 3 days, actually, and it runs till about, what time, 10 p.m., something like that?
Yeah, I think the last bands leave at 10 on the first two nights. It might be a little earlier on Sunday night.
Yeah, probably. Part two of this week's Brouhaha, brought to you by Hop Monk, in Sebastopol, Novato, and Sonoma. And our guests today are some guys talking about the Outside Lands Festival. Martin Voigt is here, and Dave McLean. Is it McLean or McLean?
McLean.
Like American Pie?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so where were we as far as when it comes
were
to
drinking.
Outside lands?
Busy drinking. Yes.
We're drinking
that's,
a killer
that's what you're here for, Mark.
We're drinking a Redwood City Brewing, Freewheeling Brewing Company, Redwood City, an IPA that's quite good. That's made with Admiral Malty, and that's why it's here today. And I was not aware of this brewery at all, but I'm very impressed with their IPA here.
Are they in Redwood City?
They are. They've been around, I think, about 5 years. And though you couldn't necessarily tell from this very American IPA, they're really exceptionally good at English-style beers, especially cask-conditioned beers.
Who's this Admiral you guys keep talking about?
That's his company, Admiral Malting.
That's right.
He went from making beer to making barley malt. And, you know, to make beer, you have to have barley malt. That's barley you take out of the field, and then you sprout it like you would a bean sprout or an alfalfa sprout, and then you can dry it out and send it to a brewer, and we can make beer.
Someone has to malt it.
That's it. And it's like, a lot of work. Yeah. I was surprised when someone wanted to get into the small malting business.
Well, especially the traditional floor malting that we do is extremely physical.
Yes.
The shoveling and the turning.
Malt malting.
You spread it out on a very thin layer on the floor and germinate it, and you have to turn it regularly. It's
weird.
It's heavy, backbreaking work.
What's the floor made of?
Concrete. But it's cooled. It's a radiant cooled floor to dissipate
kidding.
Some of the heat that builds up during germination. So
wow.
And do you have like a plow or a rake to turn it, or are you doing
We fabricated a mechanical turner. It looks a little bit like kind of a rototiller, but with softer paddles instead of blades. And we copied it almost identically with permission from some of the English maltsters that we visited. And they have these very similar machines that just have these turning paddles, and you drag it as if you're mowing the lawn up and down the floor, and it just a few times a day, two or three times a day, it redistributes it, keeps it from clumping together because the rootlets are growing as it's germinating.
How common is this method?
Very uncommon.
Yeah.
It's a dying method. I mean, at one point, I think everybody with any sense about them thought floor malting was dead.
Well, you guys are the first floor malters, like, in California in years and years.
Certainly in the modern era, wherever you want to start that.
I'm going to say the 40s is what I was told before. And even in America, it's very uncommon. But guess where they are? They are in Alameda at the old Naval Air Base Station in one of the huge hangars where my dad was stationed. And I know Kathy's from in Alameda. And they, you know, they've got a rocking beer, you know, scene going. And you guys have a tap room at the
Let's see how that works after the Raiders leave.
Well.
We haven't sold a beer in months.
I think we'll be all right. But, yeah, we share our building with we're in the old dry goods warehouse, so we're not in one of the big hangars, but we're in this beautiful redwood timber structure. The ceiling is amazing.
It's beautiful.
And we share the building. There's two tenants in the building, and one is us and one is Almanac.
Almanac,
yep. So there's a brewery. I think we're, as far as we know, we're one of the only spots in the world that we know of where there is a commercial brewery and a commercial malt house that aren't affiliated with each other under the same roof. And then we have a tap room where we only serve beer made with our malt.
And you guys have a little restaurant in there too, and the food is really good. Like the charcuterie, Tara Nur and I went there. And then there's windows as you're eating, and you can look right onto the malting floor as they're turning the malt and as it's sprouting and everything.
Cool.
You can see everything happening.
It's literally, you can watch the grass grow.
Did you say where this is again?
It's on the old Navy base in Alameda.
Oh, that's what you just said. Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
That's a neat location.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because Martin is originally from Frankfurt.
Yeah.
And the Germans, like a lot of the malt, usually bought in the world, correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, is like coming from Belgium, England, and Germany,
well,
right?
As microbrewers start up, these small brewers wanted to do something different. So, yes, we imported malts from Europe. Until then, it was all American malt. But now Dave sees the demand for so many little breweries wanting specialty malts, and so he's making it for these brewers. I will not be surprised when he comes here and tells us he's exporting to Europe his malt because it's the whole world of microbrewing that's changed, turned the brewing world upside down.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, we learned that in doing some of the research for this malting project that there was a point where Bauer and Schweitzer, which was the last maltster in San Francisco that closed in 1981, at some point in the 60s, 70s, exported its malt to England. So six-row barley, which is, we grow two-row barley. But there was a time in the past where there was American malt being exported to Europe.
Yeah, they used to send it to Asia also, because when I started with Anchor, we used to drive down there every day to pick up
our
malt for to Bauer Schweitzer. And it was right down near Fisherman's Wharf, you know, in that area of town. And it was amazing that industry lasted so long down there. Right. Now it's condos.
But to your point, and probably to your background, I mean, you know, what always to me made some of the beers that I, you know, when I visited Europe so special was that they were made with local malt. You know, so, you know, the famous malt houses of Bamberg, but other towns made malt, and then the local breweries made local beer with local malt. And until recently, we couldn't do that around here, but that's kind of what makes the old world brewing so special to me.
Well, what's also cool too is the malt, the barley, which becomes malt, is being grown in California, like local, sustainably grown. Some of it's organic, but the big thing is the sustainable part of it, right?
Yeah, sustainable and local. But to me, that's a kind of reconnecting with a way of brewing that I think comes from, you know, your part of the world.
But
go ahead.
What is so special about malt? Because everybody talks about the hops, talks about the yeast being used, but nobody talks about the malt. The beer gets the sugar from the malt, which makes the alcohol, of course. So the most important thing is the malt in the beer, but nobody talks really about the quality of the malt.
Right.
Nobody cares.
Nobody
cares about the IBUs,
I guess,
that come from the hops or the yeast being used.
I know. So, I mean, we like to say malt is the soul of beer.
Yeah.
And it really is the foundation. I mean, I always felt like that when I was brewing. Is like, you know, you build the recipe starting with the malt, and then you start adding things like, you know, flavor profile of different yeasts and the hop character and techniques that, you know, that will change the flavor of the beer. But it starts with the foundation of malt.
Yeah. We're talking about the Outside Lands Festival coming up August 9, 10, and 11 in Golden Gate Park, 12th annual. And the gates open 11 a.m. every day. A great lineup of music, as always. And the beer lands, the wine lands, the food lands.
Cheese lands.
You guys, the food situation is very cool.
Yeah,
you know, any pairing you want to do. And
I walk around there most days when I take a break from beer lands, just trying to figure out which delicious thing do I want to eat next. It's an abundance of riches.
There's everything from high-end restaurants doing the, you know, doing food to like being able to like get like one of the best burgers you've ever had, also, but Japanese and the taste of the Bay Area.
I can think of the burger that you're thinking
of. Oh yeah, I'm totally thinking of that burger, and that's, I don't even think about, you know, men anymore. It's burgers and beer and, well, Paul McCartney.
That's more information than I want. Dave McLean is here, Outside Lands, and Martin Voigt. Again, it starts August 9th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Golden Gate Park. Rolinda, it's summertime. I mean, what kind of beer, craft beer activity is going on in the county?
Oh, my gosh, there's so much stuff, and that's another reason why Martin is here. His site, if anybody wants to go check it out, his video beer blog is ProBier, ProBier.tv, and some of it's in German. Some of it's in English, but
I remember, YouTube channel, which has lots of English videos. So if you go to my YouTube channel, was also Probier TV, and there's a playlist with all the English videos.
Very cool.
Yeah. So then, so this weekend is Art and Garden Festival. Of course, there's going to be beer there and music. You got Outside Lands coming up in August. We've got the Sonoma County Fair that has the NorCal Beer Festival, which I actually judged a few weeks ago. And so that's going to be during the fair. It's only the third year of it. So that's a great one to, like, it's right by the racetrack. You can, you know, pay a little bit extra and go in and, you know, try beers out and stuff. And I bet there's some beers that made with Admiral Maltine over there.
That very likely. We're getting out there in the world. Certainly with Seismic. They're there.
Yeah. So I think Mark wanted to ask you about how many different kinds of malts you're doing, too.
It keeps expanding.
Yeah.
Partly out of our own interest and curiosity of trying out different malts, and partly from requests from brewers who ask for certain things. And so right now we're at about, I guess, 13 or 14 different malts.
That's amazing. That's so cool. You'll pretty much custom make malt for a brewer.
Yeah, most of what we make is something that would be our line, you know, a malt that we're just putting our name behind and excited to make and sell to everybody. But we do also do something they call a toll malting, which is when, you know, a maltster malts somebody else's grain. So
yeah,
we'll have brewers that have a supply, access to a farm or grain that they want to use. And as long as they can commit to buying enough of it, we'll make a batch to their specs using their barley.
This Redwood City beer we have, how many different malts are in there of yours? Do you know?
In this specific beer, I don't know. It might say on the can.
Because it has
print,
a lot of color in the in the beer, and so they've got some caramel malt.
They are really great customers of ours. They use a lot of malt in a lot of different beers, and they usually buy mixed palettes of many different malts of ours.
So gotcha.
You know, some breweries kind of focus. They have a favorite, and they focus on one, but these guys buy a lot of different malts.
Now, most of the brewers that buy your malt, are they using entirely your malt, or they're using it as a additional flavor or color additive?
It varies. I mean, you know, we sort of pound for pound, obviously, we sell more base malt than anything else.
Yeah.
The sugar source, the foundation malts and that you kind of build a beer around, it might be 80 or 90% of a recipe is the base malt. So we sell a lot of that, and so a lot of people use that as sort of the starting point. And then they might augment with other malts from other vendors that they like.
I have a question. I'm actually thinking about the bands, like at Outside Lands, too. Like, so, like, do you curate the beer for the bands? Like, so, like, okay, Paul McCartney was there 1 year. I'll just throw that in. Like, you know, I know he's English. He's probably drinking beer. Like, you got Paul Simon. And then you have so many different Tom Petty and different ones. Like.
I so wish I could say yes to that because that would be really cool. But it's already so many moving parts and variables, I think, that my head would explode.
Also sounds like it.
To the bands.
Yeah, do you just send over, like, a case of beer to the back or to the roadies or anything?
I mean, over the years, we've had different requests come in. You know, people have come to get beer for, you know, or in some cases, people have come by, and sometimes some beer ends up needing to go backstage. So, yeah, so there's a little crossover. And then those sort of VIP pairings and things like that, that kind of gets a little deeper into that.
Nice.
Go to outsidelands.com for all the info and the lineup for this year, which is great musically. And you can find out more about beer lands, wine lands, everything else that's going on.
And buy tickets.
And, of course, get tickets. Outsidelands.com. It is Friday, August 9th, 10th, and 11th. And it's going to be another great year. 12 years. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really become an institution.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it's a festival that a lot of people around here look forward to and plan around. And, you know,
I do.
It was so novel and cool when it first happened, like this great big festival in Golden Gate Park. And now it's sort of this just another one of the great things in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
people do every year.
Yeah, wrapping up this week's Brouhaha, brought to you by Hop Monk in Sebastopol, Nevada, and Sonoma. Not San Rafael, not yet. Look out, though. Martin Voigt is here, Dave McLean, Mark Carpenter, and Herlinda. We're talking about the upcoming Outside Lands Festival. Amazing music all 3 days, August 9th and 10th and 11th in Golden Gate Park. Anything else?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Martin, since you're here, all the way here from Austria, did you have some questions you've always wanted to to ask Dave McLean or Mark Carpenter from Anchor?
I have a question for Mark, because he's such a long time in the brewing business. And if we think about the breweries that we're drinking right now or that we can buy in the shops, we always, when it comes to craft beer, we're talking about breweries that are maximum 20 years on the market. But you know the brewing industry since the early 70s. What kind of hop varieties and malt was there on the market to because you did awesome creative beers at that time already. But I'm pretty sure most of the hop varieties we know from the Yakima Valley right now,
didn't exist at
no, that time.
No. In fact, Fritz Maytag, he was a very creative man. And he had a friend who was in the hop business, and Steam Beer was our product,
yeah,
flagship brand. This man recommended that he try Northern Brewers, which was a fairly old variety. But so we used Northern Brewers. It was a variety that really wasn't popular. It was kind of on the lines of the German hops. But what's interesting is when all these other breweries started up, many of them then wanted to use Northern Brewer because Anchor was using Northern Brewer. And he wound up saving that variety. That variety is still grown quite a bit now, you know. And at one point, the only people growing it were growing it for Anchor, this one hop grower. So that was certainly different. Now, the biggest change is the fact to me that hop growers and malt growers and maltsters are making so many things with the small brewer in mind. You know, hops were always developed for their ability. We got to wrap it up. They were developed only for their ability to make more bitterness or disease resistance, and now they're developed for aroma. And we have the blessing of that. This red beer from Redwood City, such hop aroma. That's the biggest change.
That is red.
It's very red, and it's very delicious. I'm putting it on Facebook Live right now with the picture of the can.
Martin Voigt, Dave McLean. We've been talking about the upcoming Outside Lands Festival, August 9th, 10th, and 11th in Golden Gate Park. And they do the wine lands and the beer lands, and they have great food. And the lineup, check out the lineup musically this year, outsidelands.com. Guys, thanks. Great to see you again.
Great to be here.
Good to be here.
Thank you very much.
And we'll see Mark and Herlinda next week.
Sounds like it.
Unless I'm in New Orleans at Tales of the Cocktail.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll be out of the country.
See you at Paul Simon.
Okay.